Going for a walk with Jim Sullivan isn't like going for a nature hike.
I think what we'll do is we'll walk up to the right of these trees here.
You might not get very far, but you'll notice a lot.
There's really good tracking on the shelf there. And out on the spit, there's a lot of bird tracks.
We're just outside of Bodega Bay, where Salmon Creek enters the ocean. As a trained tracker, Sullivan picks up on subtle clues that are invisible to most of the rest of us.
See those little striations going across? That's hair. So this animal has hair on its foot, which a lot of animals don't. This is a dog. Animals, their heads are heavy, so their front feet are bigger to help support their heads. So this track is bigger than this track. This is the front track, and this is the back track.
He notices how worn an animal's claws are, how it's balancing, what pace it moved at. He even pays attention to the absence of clues.
Wild animals don't have random stuff. Everything is very, very mindful on the point of view of the animals. So if there's no birds here, there's some reason for it. And it could be the time of year, it could be the weather, could be a person might have just come through here. And if the mud hens aren't here, it might be because the otter is out here swimming around and popping up in the middle of the mud hens and running them out of the water.
A skilled tracker, he says, can tell if a flock of birds or a bird plow has been scared by a human.
It's because humans have a characteristic bird plow that they make the birds take, different from a bird plow from, let's say, a sharp-shin hawk flying along.
Sullivan is taking me out for the morning, showing off some of the basics. We only make it a few hundred feet, but see signs of dozens of animals. When Sullivan's not tracking, he's painting in his studio or at work on a book about the neurobiology of tracking.
This is a 4-million-year-old way of operating the human mind. My theory is that man for man, person for person, all the native tracker people were way ahead of us in terms of their intelligence. They had these steel trap memories. They had to have answers to all these threats that are out there, and they pulled that off and brought it down to us.
Sullivan worries that in the past 200 years, we've neglected the very thing that developed our brains and differentiated us as humans. He'd like to see more people study tracking. It's deeply spiritual, he said, a way to slow down and tune in. Tracking also has scientific value, especially for conducting wildlife surveys. Richard Vacca, who recently launched the Point Reyes Tracking School, has studied the Ellis Creek wetlands for the city of Petaluma. He wanted to know if non-native red foxes were present. Red foxes are a greater threat to the endangered California clapper rail than the native gray fox. He says his tracking was less invasive than typical survey methods. For example, a wildlife biologist might set up cameras, traps, and make many visits to bird nesting sites.
One walk through those sensitive nesting areas can actually create trails that a fox can then follow later. So it can be quite damaging, quite disturbing. By tracker methods, you can walk into a landscape and through careful observation and understanding, you can just crack the whole thing open and see the inner workings. You know, what's going on there right at that moment, largely invisible to the normal eye.
For KRCB's North Bay Report, I'm Danielle Venton.